All right. Well, before we introduce Sister Hannah to come speak, last night, as Brother Nick was speaking, he's talking about, you know, the right what ingredients you put in your cake, or you letting God put the ingredients that you need to have in your cake in your cake. And I was thinking last night, and I was like, man, I was like, that was, you know, that was a really good analogy for that. And I was like, you know what, there's the people that want to put their sweet stuff in their cake only, not the stuff they don't want to come to youth events or youth services or, you know, things like that, and their cake's gonna look a little funky. And then what they're going to do is, you see it, is they'll go get their icing and they'll just ice over everything to where it makes it look normal, but realistically down on the inside, you know, they need those big key elements part of their, you know, to make their cake right how it should be. And so that was just kind of something that stuck with me last night and, you know, all through today. I was figuring out how I should say it in here. And so this is a good part. Maybe this is God tossing a little bit of flour. Maybe you want to take a quick little cat nap before church, but it's good to be here. So go ahead. Let's go ahead and give Hannah Kemp our undivided attention. Get your Bibles out and sit up straight and pray for her. I'm sure she's nervous.
Okay, I'm like super nervous. I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, for all that you've done for us. We ask you help us today, help us the rest of the day. Youth lesson, help somebody get something out of it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I feel like my youth lesson has probably nothing to do with what anybody else had to speak on this week. So, I don't know, I'm very nervous. So, Brother Steve, a couple weeks ago, was like, well, I felt a burden to speak in young people's, and I feel like I had something that I should probably say in young people's. And so then, Brother Steve, I was like, well, Lord, if you want me to speak in young people's, give me a sign or have somebody say something. Well, then, like, the next Sunday, Brother Steve was like, okay, well, I'm not going to be here for camp meeting. Does anybody have any, a burden to speak? And I was like, wow. Okay, well, might as well. So then I texted Sister Sherry. I was like, well, if it works out, would there be any way that I could speak or something? And so she said, yeah, sure. And so here I am. Okay, so I have, so what is sin? Well, sin is disobedience to God. 1 John 3:4 says, sin is a transgression against God's word. I wasn't really sure what transgression meant, so I looked it up in a dictionary, and it said, the transgression was a violation against the law. And Deuteronomy 9:7 says that sin is a rebellion against his word. So to get a better understanding, I looked up what rebellion meant. And it said, rebellion is a revolt or an uprising against someone or something. So either way, if sinning looks like a good idea, just remember, you're going up against God. Well, then I was thinking, well, what are some things that God considers sin? Guys. So I looked it up in a children's Bible, and it said, jealousy is a sin. Well, I didn't know that, and I have a problem with being a little bit jealous of people. So I just have to tell myself that I'm better than them. So, and then in Galatians 5:19-21, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revellings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in the past time, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So it kind of just mentions like a whole bunch of things, but I didn't really know what some of those words meant, so I reread it in the Children's Bible, and it says, the revolt of sin's control in our lives is clear. It includes impurity and wild living, worshiping false gods, doing witchcraft, hating, making trouble, being jealous, being angry, being selfish, making people angry with each other, causing divisions among people, having envy, being drunk, having wild and wasteful parties, and doing other things like this. I warn you now, as I warned you before, those who do these things will not be in God's kingdom. So, see, God has a variety of things that he doesn't approve of, things big or small. So then I started to think, well, God is no respecter of persons. So take it in this case as God is no respecter of sins. So I guess you could say, which just means that God doesn't care how big or small your sin is. If it's a sin, it's still keeping you from getting to heaven. So here, let me put it like this. So there's this jail cell that looks all luxurious and amazing and has everything you've ever dreamed of inside, no matter how many times or how long you're in it. The door always stays open, so you can leave whenever you want. But of course, no one ever wants to leave because they've got everything they've ever wanted. Well, there's a catch. There will be a day where the door closes and will never open ever again. And when the door is closed, all the cool and amazing stuff disappears and you're stuck forever in that old, moldy, empty cell. Well, while you're in that cell, you can see all the other people who didn't fall into the trap, got over their lusts, and with God's help, made the right choice. Now, while you're in pure misery, those people are having the best time in God's kingdom. So because you chose your own way and didn't even think to look at the other options, you're stuck forever in a horrible pit. Sin isn't always what it seems. Don't let it fool you. You might think you're cool and you might think that what you're doing is fun, but when you actually stop and think about it, you don't feel so good. You actually feel absolutely horrible the whole time. And then if you start to think about it more, you realize no one else thinks you're cool. I don't know if you noticed, but the person in the cell was alone. None of his friends joined him, so I guess the next time you plan on going or doing something questionable, think about your friends and think about how many you're going to lose. The real ones will try and stay, and they'll try to get you to do the good, but they can only do it for so long. Then they'll have no choice but to leave. So I guess basically what I'm trying to say is don't sin. No one is getting anything from it but the devil. I think that's pretty much all that I got. If it's kind of confusing, just kind of ask me. I might be able to explain when I'm not nervous.
Those were some really good thoughts by Sister Hannah. The one thing that really stuck out to me was that, you know, little example she gave there about being stuck in that cell. And there's the verse there. I didn't look it up without enough time, but it was that there's the pleasure in sin for a season, and that's only a season. And then eventually it's just going to turn out and just not, you know, it's not going to be pleasurable. And I just thought that was really, you know, that was a cool example about, you know, the door being shut and then you're not going to, you know, you're going to be in there forever and everything's gone. So, I mean, she pretty much hit it right on the head, and it's a good little refresher of, you know, what exactly sin.